Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. All of you probably know my guest today. She has done just incredible, extraordinary work. Very few people can dig into history the way that Cynthia Chung does and then put it together in a way that it really makes sense as to how we got where we are today. She has an incredible piece on her Substack. I hope you all are following. It's a two-parter that kind of digs into Panama and some other things that we don't really understand because we were never told them in the past. And many of you have seen my shows and things that I've highlighted going on in Panama now having to do with the illegal immigration and border crisis. But it's much deeper than that. So thank you for joining me, Cynthia, as always, to fill in some blanks and some history we do not know.
Always a pleasure to be on, Mel.
Great. So you get into it first. Why did you decide to dig in? This is a two-part piece. We'll put the link below. It's fascinating. But what made you set your sights down there? Because whenever you zero in on somewhere, there's obviously a deeper understanding you'd like to get people to fully realize.
Well, yeah, I mean, for sure, there is a very dangerous situation that is going on that is most definitely a threat to the United States in terms of stability, not just economically, but, you know, in other departments as well. And so I wanted to look into this further, obviously, to know where this is coming from, because I feel that the American people are being hit by from multiple angles right now. And it's a very chaotic, confusing period for us. And it's very easy to get kind of confused with, like, where is it coming from? And what exactly is the reason for why these things are occurring?
Yeah, especially since our media, obviously, you know, it's so funny. We've been doing shows together for almost 3 years now. And you've taught me so much, as has Matt. But time and again, it's the kind of blackout of history that we were never taught and didn't learn. And then suddenly you'll see Panama coming up. People didn't never even thought about Panama, let alone the history and how much it is important to the United States. And now all of a sudden it's out there. So let's start from where you started your series now on Panama to, like, what are the first things that the people should actually know about the history there that's relevant right now?
Well, the thing that I realized in terms of the heavy, I mean, there's a heavy CIA presence that's been in Panama for a very long time. Actually, Panama has been a sort of colonial possession of the United States since the days of Teddy Roosevelt. So that's another thing to keep in mind. And there have always been a lot of military bases in Panama. But then something nefarious started to take hold or, you know, occur within the Panama region under especially the CIA direction, which is, again, a connection to the Gladio operations that, you know, I've come on before speaking about Gladio in Europe, which was the Churchill's secret armies, the state behind units that Churchill was saying needed to stay in place throughout Europe because in case there was going to be an invasion by Stalin into Western Europe. And yet it never happened. And after there was a huge declassification of a whole bunch of papers, including CIA, FBI, NSA at the end of the 1990s, that revealed Gladio, which is the Italian name for the stay behind units. But it ended up being called, you know, that for all of the European, because every country had their own stay behind units that were being operated basically from a parallel state. Right. So there were a lot of, you know, kind of black ops, black budget type things. So you have, like, separate police stations, separate interrogation centers, torture centers. These kinds of things were starting to be set up. And the European people were being lied to, saying that, you know, most of it wasn't known, but any inkling that there was something happening, there was the justification that it needed to happen to keep people safe from terrorists who they were saying were the communists. But especially for the Italian situation, there was about 20 years of terrorist activity called the Years of Lead that were exposed in this declassification in the late 1990s. They were actually from the NATO secret armies that were you know, the continuation of the Churchill secret army units. And the justification was they needed to do these things and blame it on the communists to push the public away from voting communists into government. And Italy was the first elections to happen after World War II. And it was known that the communists were likely going to be voted in because they were the ones that were primarily fighting against the Mussolini forces. The communists actually were fighting a lot, you know, against the Nazis and the fascists. So there was a concern that there was going to be a kind of takeover from the communists. They were going to get voted in. And so that was actually one of the CIA's first okays, that they could kind of move away from what was supposed to be originally a desk job to going into clandestine operations. And over time, these clandestine operations, you know, I've come on your show before too, just to talk about Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles. Those are not American patriots. They were pro-Nazi. Right. They were pro-Nazi, foreign, you know, infiltrators of the American establishment. And under Alan Dulles, the clandestine operations increasingly was used as an excuse to take over huge aspects of the U.S. military. And as long as it was considered a clandestine operation, it was going to be under the purview of the CIA and not the U.S. Army. So increasingly, people in the American government and the American military were not aware at all of what was going on with these clandestine operations. It was basically a separate unit that was under the direction of Alan Dulles, who was, you know, David Talbot in The Devil's Chessboard has made a very good case, was working with Nazis and continued to work with Nazis after World War II. And then later on in Vietnam, there was the Phoenix Program. And this also started the whole counterinsurgency warfare. It was the new form of modern warfare that we're in now today. And those two were used as models to then bring into South America under Operation Condor. So Operation Condor is the Gladio of South America. And people, I think, are very aware that a lot of the Nazis, the fascists, went to South America, especially Argentina.
Right.
And so they continued these kinds of operations. They had about six countries. Chile and Argentina were the lead countries that were organizing parallel states, like Orwellian stuff here.
Right.
And, you know, they have like whole fleets of cars, unregistered, you know, aircraft, like unofficial cemeteries of where to bury people. So this was going on since the 1970s in South America. Pinochet in Chile, it was like one of the biggest cases of this that was known worldwide. But it was, you know, there was death squads and all types of stuff. And it turns out that the CIA was organizing this. And the Panama was the nerve center of this. And there, you know, it was not just military training that was happening with for these death squads to then go into these other sections of South America and utilize the kind of lessons that they learned in especially Vietnam,
right,
in the Phoenix program, which is, you know, we know now that it's like over 70,000 people were like tortured and killed in that operation. I kind of call it like a laboratory. That's pretty much how I view it. And they were then going to use these lessons. And then they started on South America. And they're increasingly starting to bring it now into countries like the United States. And actually, Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who, you know, I looked at a lot of his work for the second part of the series. He wrote The Secret Team and JFK Vietnam. These are very good books for people to review. He was like Mr. X in Oliver Stone's JFK movie. But he was making the point that if you think as an American that they're not going to bring in the pacification type operations they were using in Vietnam, think again. And he names Fort Bragg. Look at the stuff going on around Fort Bragg at the time. He was writing it in 1972. They're already starting these kinds of things. And he said, I wouldn't be surprised if they start using this against Americans. And he was also saying, you know, a lot of these people who are being trained, these special units, these hunter-killer squads, American hunter-killer killer squads in Vietnam, would come back to the United States and they would join the police units.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just even an American military thing. They were bringing it into the police force. It was always like the army, the black ops army and the black ops type police were starting to take over huge chunks of within the United States as well.
Right. Yeah, the reason that this is so scary is some of the information coming from Michael Yan and Anne and other people down there are not only are they these military age men from all over the world, a lot of them from the Middle East, China, Africa, and other places, but that there are huge barracks down there that seem to be completely full. And then they're watching them come over here. You know, it reminds me a little bit also, we did talk about this here, but I also, my friend Kathy that was saved, rescued out of the MK Ultra program was very involved in Nicaragua and Air America and a lot of that stuff, which is connected to all this stuff too. And her, the man that saved her was very friendly with Fletcher Prouty and worried about the same thing, which was, you know, at what point? So what we saw recently was Dick Durbin and other Democrats suggesting that they allow the people that are coming through the border to serve in our military and in our police force. So people have to understand this isn't new. And the idea that these people that obviously like hate freedom, they, you know, they're fully supporting all this globalist stuff. They're for the open border. They keep saying the Republicans are stopping the border. We know that that's not true, but they're openly suggesting that they did clandestine and under the radar when they brought people back from training them, wherever they're doing it right in the open and telling us that, you know, and I believe Los Angeles has already started allowing illegals to serve, but it is being suggested in DC right in front of all of us as if this is a new idea. And I think it's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, the thing again, that Fletcher Prouty was bringing up in his secret team book, from what he tells as a story is that the U.S. Army was especially taken over, unfortunately, during the Kennedy administration, because Kennedy was being hit from all angles. And he unfortunately didn't have a good relationship with the Pentagon. And Alan Dulles totally took advantage of that. And he sold Maxwell Taylor as an old soldier, when in fact, Maxwell Taylor was the guy that wanted the whole counterinsurgency new mandate. And so when Kennedy made the mistake of, Lemnitzer also, he was pushing forward Operation Northwood, which was, you know, the proposition to do a false flag on the American people and even American military personnel and blame it on Castro as an excuse to invade Cuba directly. So these were things that were happening. You know, it's like, how are we to think that we're going to be protected by these units if they think that ultimately they can attack us,
right,
as a justification to attack what they think is a bad guy? It, you know, it starts to get a little bit, unethical, obviously.
Right. And I think it's important too, what you've shown in a lot of your work as well. You have a great book about it, but basically that a lot of these people that were involved during JFK's time, and you know, a lot of people point to that Eisenhower speech where he warned about the military industrial complex and the bankers getting together. But what a lot of people don't know is that is also the same time when a lot of these clandestine operations were actually elevated. So while people were like, oh, he was pointing at the military industrial complex, well, the clandestine, you know, under the radar, you know, mercenary type stuff was actually coming up to be more powerful. That's also around the same time that like Mind Wars and Aquino and all them were talking about taking down whole societies without firing a shot by, you know, psychological operations and cognitive warfare. So it all comes together as one. And then we're at a place where honestly, right now in America, There is a big chunk, especially on the left, that still are MSNBC types that watch that kind of intel television, as I call it, that honestly believe that what's going on at the border is not business as usual. And I think people have to understand what is down there at Panama. What is the situation? Because that never went away. And nobody even tried to, because a lot of these people are senior executive service, which people are just learning about, or they're this dictatorship by bureaucracy. These people that never go away. Some of them have been there since the murder of JFK. Some of them were groomed and came up after that into the positions of those people. And no matter who's elected president right now, they remain there. And like you said about even JFK, JFK not having the Pentagon and other people honest with him or working with him, neither did Donald Trump. So we're at a place where it's even all this time that people aren't paying attention yet. Prouty was warning us back then that this was coming. So now what, we're 35 years later, 40 years later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when Maxwell Taylor came in, he basically changed the whole U.S. military doctrine. So instead of having the traditional U.S. military values, it became turned completely on top of its head. And it was the new soldiers coming in were taught a completely new doctrine, which was the Vietnam counterinsurgency type of warfare doctrine. And so, again, Prouty is making the point that it became, it started with 40 host countries that were allies to the United States, and they were accepting the U.S. soldiers who had been indoctrinated with this new doctrine, that it was, these soldiers thought it was their job to reform all levels of society. So that's a very, it's a military dictatorship concept, right?
Right.
And they thought that they were doing a good thing, because they never knew about the traditional old ways of doing things. And so these countries, if they didn't like it, it was always the first thing is that paramilitary troops were trained and put together first. So if that country's army, for instance, didn't want to go along with this, they were going to be attacked by these paramilitary units. It was going to happen one way or another. It's burn the village to save the village,
right,
model
exactly.
From Vietnam was what they were doing. Iraq is a very good example of this, right? Not that, you know, I'm a fan of Saddam Hussein, but what happened with the American invasion to Iraq was certainly not a boost for the, you know, way of living for the Iraqi people. And they were certainly not safer under that kind of reform. But that was something that was happening everywhere. And you had civilians and you had soldiers who were being trained with the new doctrine. But you see, the new doctrine, it was never even pro-democracy. It's not about the people. It's not about the American people. It's not about the welfare of any people. It was servicing what was, again, the Gladio ideology, which is a sort of kind of like crusader ideology. And they don't think that, you know, it's their job to protect the people. It's ultimately to have a certain kind of idea, concept of how the world should be, which again is sort of like a League of Nations imperialistic right. idea, where you have like about six control centers. You know, it's like the Aldous Huxley world controllers. You have that. And the rest of the world is supposed to be viewed as a satrapy or a breadbasket or so forth. And so what they were doing is they were actually training. And again, unfortunately, the United States, it got infiltrated in so many ways, and these resources were taken over. So Alan Dulles used, for instance, the special forces that had been, you know, set up under World War II with the Churchill secret armies. That was supposed to not be in operation during peacetime, understandably. Right. And Eisenhower wasn't allowing that to grow. And then Alan Dulles kind of reinvigorated that program. But as Prouty makes the point, largely under the CIA purview. And this is how the CIA increasingly started to take the military resources, was they, you know, made the absurd statement that if something was clandestine, even if everybody knew it was happening, you know, at a certain point in Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, everybody knew
right.
in those areas what the Americans were doing. The Soviets knew, the Chinese knew. It wasn't secret. It was only secret, as Prouty makes a point, to the American people. So at a certain point, it wasn't clandestine in the way that you would think. And the excuse of the military not coming over and not taking control of the situation was a problem, to the point where it got out of hand. The Vietnam is the biggest case for this. It gets out of hand, and then it's an excuse for an all-out war. And now what we see in the United States with what you're saying, where they're allowing now these illegals to enter the American military, it's the exact same model they've been doing to other countries is yes. now what they're doing to the United States, which again shows that they were never a patriotic thing
right.
ever. So they're just using now that same thing. The whole world has been their little playground, and now they're coming back to roost, kind of thing.
Yeah, to us. And the other thing that came out last week, and I wanted your take on this because you've really dug into all this stuff, to the origins of much of it all the way back. So the New York Times allowed a regular Russia hoax journalist to, I guess, go visit 12 CIA installations that have been in Ukraine, at least it sounds like since 2009, but it sounds it could be before, it could be after, but certainly before the 2014 revolution there, Purple Revolution, Maidan Revolution that we were responsible for, as far as I can see. And they just decided to tell America this week, which, you know, it's never an accident when it's coming through the intel media and they're picking an intel media operative. What were your thoughts on that? Because to me, that was a sign like, you know, the CIA is very much alive and well and way more involved than people think. And I also believe that the CIA clandestine operations are not included in the ridiculous budget that comes out of the Pentagon that they keep failing audits on either. So they're all this money that they want for Ukraine. They're not talking about that. That's a whole different system. So that whole system, like you're saying, built a long time ago, is functioning separate from the military, it appears.
Yeah, I would say that most of the money that's going into Ukraine is to fund the black ops and the black budgets, which is, again, to set up parallel states, which is not anyone's, like, they are willing to go after democratically elected officials. You know, they have for Gladio and Condor. So we're just like giving a whole bunch of money to the underground, you know, military warfare units. And at the beginning, I believe that the CIA under Alan Dulles was getting a lot of their money from the Nazi war chest that, you know, kind of just went missing.
Yes.
So yeah, we're doing a really bad thing right now, putting, and there's increasingly now child trafficking issues. I mean, it was already bad, but it's getting really bad. And Marina Abramović, I think she's been now officially installed as like the ambassador to take care of the children in Ukraine, which, I mean, is a very clear message, I think. And she has absolutely no training for that, except the fact that she's a Satanist. So,
and she does spirit cooking dinners where, you know, it's not really blood and body parts, but it appears that it all, I mean, the idea that they did that, and you know what's crazy is they announced that there's been a lot of entry of the Clinton Global Initiative also back on the scene. So when they had their big celebration for halfway to a 2030 in September in New York at the UN, they pulled up the Clinton Global Initiative, Marina Abramović, you know, Zelensky, you know, BlackRock's there talking about the $600 billion it's going to cost to rebuild Ukraine. I mean, it's all very, very ominous. And the child trafficking part, we have a friend who has done a bunch of series of child trafficking things from around the world called 26 Seconds. And she went in to look into it after we left Iraq, what's happened there to children, mm-hmm. women and children. And it's devastating. But at the same time, she also warned that our exit from our inexplicable disaster exit from Afghanistan, that with that 60,000 unvetted people that the Biden regime brought here, that there were many children and women in there that were coming here to be trafficked in America. And that, you know, that this is a huge issue. Then we have the wide open border. And that's another reason that people should be very concerned. And then to hear them, Cynthia, on the other side, CNN, MSNBC, or any of these talking heads being like, these are just good people coming across that. They're talking as if it's a border from 1982 when people wanted to come here to be American citizens, and they're not really being fully honest. And what you're saying is they've done this in other countries time and time again for decades. Why wouldn't they be setting up the same situation here? And then on top of that, you've talked other times, but on this show and other places, the child and human trafficking, sex trafficking. Now we're getting pictures, I believe probably are real, of that when soldiers are dying, the organ trafficking on top of it is major. And our open border is probably wide open to facilitate that as much as anything else. From our farms to your family, all organic protein, fruits, vegetables, gut health, immune support, and so much more. We have products for weight loss and collagen and muscle building, products for children, athletic performance, and 30-day programs for just $12 a day. You can save $50 on your first purchase of $75 or more with the code MELKWELLNESS. Go to the MelKayShow.com partners page and check out Mel Kay Superfoods today.
I mean, I think we're kind of putting together the picture very well, in the sense that this is all just funding a huge criminal. The criminal yes. underworld has gotten to a point where it's becoming the above ground world. We live in like Gotham City, basically.
We do. I know. Point.
But I mean, that's why we have to realize that when there are certain kind of directions of like, oh, the problem is here, the problem is there. The problem is within our countries. Our countries have been slowly been taken over the last few decades from people who are pretending, you know, to be citizens and patriots of their country. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people who are migrating there, there's also a bunch of weird stuff happening for sure in South America. Like, that's one of the weird things about Vietnam too. Again, Prouty was the one who brought this up to my attention. It's such a huge scandal that like the Northern Vietnamese, through the Saigon mission, through Edward Lansdale's CIA Saigon mission, right. They were doing terrorist attacks on the Northern Vietnamese, causing these people who had been living the same way for centuries, which was basically just like rice paddy farming and like fishing. And this, they had not had any change for centuries. And these people got up and left their villages to go to Southern Vietnam. And these were sections that were normally would never they never connected. And the Americans even offered to transport them in ships from northern to south, and they were promised that they were going to have resources there and everything, and instead they were just unleashed onto the South Vietnamese people. So obviously there was not enough to go around, and there were people who were living in the forest who had to raid villages in order to survive, and there was all of this kinds of crazy confusion over this. And then on top of it, there was like real laboratory experiments going on. Like Prouty has this story of like he calls it the magic box with the red button, and they installed a magic box in this village, and the chieftain was told, like, whenever there's like something that you think is you're going to be attacked or whatever, you can press the button. But there's no way to communicate with anyone on the other end. And this was like a weird way for them to, have some kind of psychological warfare on these villagers. And by the time, if the American forces decided to respond to that, because he was saying a lot of them were not responded to, the village was usually already by then, like everyone was dead, but there would be maybe a few people that they would go after. But it was really bizarre, like the kind of tactics that they were using was clearly not to keep stability in any way. And then you had like certain Vietnamese that were like selected, so there were apparently a lot of Catholics in Northern Vietnam, so that when they came to the South, they started to be favored by the New Dinh Diem Southern Vietnamese government over the actual Southern Vietnamese people. Oh, wow. And they were called like really Orwellian names, like the sisterhood of blah 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 and the brotherhood of blah blah blah. And it was all about just like enforcing Orwellian type of psychological warfare in these areas. And they had like what were they called, the hamlets as well. And I mean, it's really creepy now. I only recently realized like how Orwellian this was. And a fun note for people too, George Orwell, who wrote 1984, his whole insight into interrogation torture techniques was from his time stationed as a policeman in Burma working for the British Empire. Uh-huh. Where he had to do interrogation right. and torture techniques on the Burmese people. And he probably also saw his colleagues too doing this. And he clearly was very, you know, he couldn't continue doing that. And he right. wanted to kind of address it. But he could never quite escape British intelligence, right? He kind of always was somewhat under their control. So that was his insight for 1984, was that he was O'Brien and Winston, he was the torturer and the person receiving the torture, because wow. he was never fully a sovereign person. So that's the freaky thing, is that Orwellianism was not actually a future state. It was already happening under a kind of British Empire, British East India Trade Company. Yeah. That was the first private armies, right, that were going, they were working for the empire, and they were going into other parts of the world, but they were not, they were separate from the, because, you know, Britain was always weird. They had a monarchy, but they had the parliament. They were separate from the British army. The British East India Company was the private army to execute the will of, you know, a certain grouping in Britain. And that's what has been the model now under Churchill's secret armies, which then, you know, Churchill influenced American foreign policy totally. There were American figureheads who were saying, okay, now that World War II is over, let's all like respect national sovereignty, let's like end colonialism, let's like work together and all that. And then Churchill announces the Iron Curtain speech. I realize now the Iron Curtain speech was a justification to continue the right. stay behind unit model, the clandestine operations, the secret armies. And that was what was the justification to grow all the parallel states.
And if we don't fight this now, that is exactly what they're planning right now when they're talking about Poland and Germany and all these other countries. When Ukraine dies down and there's nothing left there, because I'm sure you just heard it in the last few days, even though Putin's out there saying, you know, we have no reason. We're not going to Poland. We're not. This isn't about Germany. This isn't. And now you're hearing the rhetoric start up because they're realizing that not only did Zelensky get rid of the main military leader that actually anyone that was left that supported what's going on there followed just this past 2 weeks, but it's very clear that they don't want it to end. Nobody's talking about peace. And now you have Macron out there. You have the guy from Germany, obviously Poland, and they're all talking about getting ready for NATO to continue. And it's exactly what you're saying. They don't want it to end. And the real reason they don't want it to end is because it's probably exactly what you're saying. What are your thoughts watching this dialogue the last few days, last week or so, where they're all, no matter what, I mean, whether you liked what Putin had to say to Tucker or not, or what anyone else has been saying, including you guys, about this whole thing, it's like there's never been anyone on their side saying anything about expanding. There was a real reason that is very clear from the Russian side that they went into Ukraine. Now it seems more it's about the CIA aspect that they were saying all along about the bioweapons and all that. But what do you think, because this sounds very similar to what you're saying, it's setting up for a leave behind to continue this going no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, Ukraine is another laboratory, and they are trying out a whole bunch of things. It was never for the Ukrainian people. And, you know, a lot of Ukrainian people who end up able to escape Ukraine, which is not easy because you can be shot from your, you know, your own Ukrainian army. Ukrainian government, they have been known, there's like video footage of now they're running out of people, to the point where if you're a male and you go to the grocery store, you will be put into a van and you'll be sent to the front.
Yeah.
And it's, but the way that they're even doing it, it's like there's no strategy at all. So you're just like pretty much being sent to be slaughtered. And the thing is that, you know, Russia has made it clear that they were willing to have a compromise. You know, there could have been a settlement
multiple times too.
Yeah, the Ukrainian people, or the Ukrainian government even, were not allowed to make that choice for themselves, because guess what? It's not their war. They're not fighting the war because they originally came up with the idea. And certain people were put into the government, especially initially, that were of a American selection. Victoria Nuland, fuck the EU.
Right, you know? I know. There's a video out right now of Joe Biden saying that, you know, he was on the phone more with Poroshenko and the Yats guy before him, that Nuland obviously and McCain was still around, that they chose to be the government. And he's in this video, the same one that has the quid pro quo about firing the guy, the prosecutor looking into Burisma. People should pull that entire video of Joe Biden talking about Ukraine, because what he's talking about is that they did not accept who Ukraine wanted to run their country, and it was not acceptable to them. And and he was going to hold another tranche of billions of dollars that we didn't even know was going, if they didn't put in somebody that was along the lines of what the US or Obama and his team wanted. I mean, totally telling you the whole story. And yet we're still in a place, Cynthia, what's shocking is nobody even puts together the Ukraine impeachment of Donald Trump and us going into Ukraine the second that they put in Joe Biden, basically, and that all blowing up when it's all connected. And again, I see this video now, the full video of the Council of Foreign Relations talk, and Joe Biden saying that they've been running Ukraine for the entire time. Well, it sounds like well before 2014.
But if you ask the fact checkers, that apparently is not true.
No, I know. Because they're 26-year-old graduates. They're 26-year-old graduates of the Poynter Institute's journalism school, apparently, is the new mainstream journalist. But now, like what you're talking about right now is super important, because down in Panama right now, there are barracks and barracks that you're not allowed to go near. And my friends have tried. And there's some very brave people down there. Ben Bergstrom, the guy that's oftentimes on War Room. There's Oscar Blue. There's Michael Yon. And they've been trying, and they've had people go down with them. But there's barracks down there to some extent. And everyone's saying that those are Chinese, that those are run by the CCP. I'm not hearing much talk about the CIA in Panama. And then, and of course, we didn't hear anything about the CIA in Ukraine. We did. You and I did. And all the people that are the Putin apologists, I guess. But the whole world just heard about it this week, last week in the Intel New York Times. So who is down in Panama? Because there's UN flags. I hear that there's big presence of the Clinton Global Initiative, whoever that's through, or Crisis International, of course. But also people are blaming what's going on in Panama on the Chinese.
Yeah, I mean, that's also why I wanted to look into this. I mean, I'm coming from it always from a historical standpoint first, because I feel that it's the safest way to try to understand what's going on in the present, because we don't live in a world where things have just suddenly popped up the way that they have. Most of the stuff of what we're living in has all been a consequence of World War II.
Right.
The fact that we didn't win World War II, we didn't finish World War II. And in the case of the Chinese, here's the thing that I guess I feel I have a hard time understanding, how the Chinese have so much power in this, because as I was explaining, we had the Condor Tell. So Operation Condor was from the 1970s. Full force from the 1970s until like the late 1980s. And this is now, we know this happened. It's declassified. It's solid. However, there were a lot of things that continued. A lot of the drugs that also happened in South America during this time that we thought were communists, actually Gladio fascist type stuff. The Nixon war on drugs was a way for the dirty aspects of the American government intelligence to basically take control of those drugs. That's why soldiers were babysitting opium fields in Afghanistan. And they were using these drugs to fund their Gladio operations. And then you have in Panama what was Condor Tell, which was it's a computerized network. So Panama was where the I call it the Skynet, you know, from Terminator.
Yeah.
It's the central computer node for all of the America, like Central and South America. And you also had the training of the death squads that were happening from American military schools in Panama that would then go on. But everything was connected under one communication center. So they were all getting their orders from that central communication center. And this included, and this was already something that they were really good in Gladio. They had fake travel agencies where they could give you fake passports and all this sort of stuff, so you could cross borders very easily. But in the Americas, it was even easier, right? Because in the Americas, they weren't as established as countries as like Western Europe. They didn't have as much like security over these kinds of things. So they started to, perfect these kinds of techniques where you could, that's also how they had missing people that just kind of disappeared. Sometimes you would be brought from one location, like let's say Chile, to Argentina, which was the main interrogation center, but nobody would ever like the real, I guess you could say, you know, government or the real security or like the democratically elected things.
Right.
That a lot of them didn't know that this was going on in their country, even though it was so big. It was being blamed on insurgents. It was being blamed on these death squads
like
that
the
were
Patriot
like
Act is about terrorists, you know, not about us. Well, what's interesting about what you're saying, because I had on somebody who did really in-depth work on Barry Seal and Air America and what happened there, and that they were bringing those, you know, I guess they were Nicaraguan rebels to MENA, Arkansas to train. You know, and then acting like that wasn't real for years. And that was also the drug trade and everything to overthrow that government there and pretend that they were siding. We have this situation in Syria, which is not what it seems. Most people, you brought it before Iraq, but talk about destroying a nation totally illegally against everything that should have been international law forbidden is Libya to me. So now we have a situation where people know about the Barry Seal story to a certain extent as much as they can. And it's not that hard to go to the next level. But what is really, really disturbing is that while they're telling us, because I see a lot of rhetoric that it's Chinese. And the one thing that I do want to ask you about here, because you wrote a whole book about a lot of this, is that so the United Nations at the very highest level in many of the agencies that apparently have power has a Chinese Communist Party members, as does at Davos. They were feting the Chinese Communist Party as if they were the VIPs of the World Economic Forum. But then when people report on this stuff, they never mention that. And again, the question goes back to a Kissinger and the whole Rockefeller and opening the door to China and even the Bushes and everyone else. It's as if they allowed this to happen. These, like you said, these people aren't getting there because they elbowed their way up there. There seems to have been a long-term plan to do this. And now we're hearing there's a lot of rhetoric, and I'm sure some of it is true. But to think that our government or the clandestine operations that you're talking about or the five-star trust, this money that nobody knows where it goes or whatever, but apparently goes to a lot of this stuff, that it's paying for a lot of this, and that these people are being, the CCP people are actually being placed by operatives in our own military and government in that realm. And is that possible? Because now everyone's talking about the danger. China's going to take us down without firing a shot. Are we so sure that it's not us taking us down without firing a shot?
Yeah, well, I feel from the research that I've been doing historically that Russia and China have always been very separate from Gladio. And Gladio has never been, has never brought them in for that. And I think that if we think that Putin is making some good points, we should also be wondering, like, okay, Putin is definitely a sophisticated operator in intelligence. Why is he making himself so close to the Chinese if the Chinese are doing these sorts of things? So I feel that that's one angle to look at it. And I think that, you know, it's very interesting because the United States is not the only country where you're having all these types of operatives trying to attack the value system. And so it's happening in China as well. And actually, a friend of mine, he was bringing up that the Chinese, it's weird, you know, like this whole Marxist thing of like the Marxist Chinese infiltration that's attacking the value system in the United States. These are actually, you know, people who are from like the Frankfurt School type ideology that were never really Chinese. And a friend of mine was bringing up that Karl Marx, even though he's not a Marxist, I'm not a Marxist, I'm for the American, you know, economic system under Hamilton. But he was making the point that Marx was known as an anti-Malthusian, that he was known for certain things that he's not really thought about today because they've taken over a certain, you know, the fact that Marx is equated with like eco stuff and all this is not actually anything that he himself ever advocated. But what's interesting is that in China, even though they call themselves a Marxist-Leninist government, they don't actually, they think that it's a Christian operation against them to bring in false Marxism into China, because there's a what you call organic Marxism and ecological civilization that's hitting China right now. And they're saying, like, what the hell is this? This isn't real Marxism. They're trying to, like, infiltrate us, and it's the Christians. And so, because they don't understand Western Christianity, right? Because, like, you have to think about it from a Russian standpoint of view as well, right? They have the Orthodox Christianity. It's not the Vatican. They don't like the Vatican. The Russians don't trust the Vatican. And honestly, the way that the Vatican's been acting lately, I don't blame them. But they don't understand, like, especially the Chinese. See, the Russians are kind of like the in-between. They can kind of, like, I think, translate for some. Because the Chinese culture has been very closed off for centuries. And we are kind of confusing for them. And so when you even have, like, this kind of stuff, there's a lot of stuff that's trying to infiltrate China right now. Its answer for centuries has always been to close itself off. But now it realizes that they cannot do that because we live in a world that's too connected, and it's impossible. It's also just not safe to not have a relationship with the rest of the world.
That's why, there's a lot of people that are giving up. I mean, people that I think are brilliant, but they're like, yeah, we're not going to vote our way out of this. See, they don't like Trump or Biden. They're not going to vote. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we need somebody to negotiate peace with the rest of the world, because there's got to be some kind of, meeting in the middle so that the rest of humanity doesn't, because they, listen, the neocons, the NATO group, these people, I think the international banking cartel above it all are, I believe, hell-bent on escalating this war. I don't think the people of humanity are the people that would be forced to fight the war. Certainly if they, they're very low numbers in recruiting in America. They cannot open another front of this war, I don't think, without going into drafting our children. And I think that that's a great big red line here. So to me, I think Donald Trump is the best bet to actually negotiate. But also, all the people that hate, Donald Trump are trying to destroy him on, I call them the parent company of planet Earth. They hate all those people, they hate all the right people, as far as I'm concerned, that actually can help us. You know, if you look at who they target all over the world, all the world leaders that are targeted by the parent company, including Trump, that those are the people that actually want their nations to stand up against this and are encouraging them to. So, but when you talk about the escalation of war, what's interesting, I wonder what you think of this. So, you know that there's a big push to call Christian nationalists domestic terrorists. Rob Reiner just put out a whole movie about Christian nationalists being terrorists. You know, they always call Flynn and other people Christian nationalists. And then I guess they put out a book, MSNBC's Intel News, I call them. They are putting out a book about rural American white people being the biggest threat to America. Do you think that they're pushing? So now you're saying that there's an infiltration in China, Chinese culture, that they're blaming on Christians too. Do you think that that's, I mean, I don't see how that could not be related, because what they're telling us is that it's the Chinese Communist Party that is fueling this Marxist revolution, this, full, this full controlled demolition of America. At the same time, they're telling the Chinese that it's the Christians coming in. It seems like it can't not be related. We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Yeah, no, I think that that's a point on. And I think that historically, the whole Churchill, I'll just call it the Churchill foreign policy viewpoint. They never wanted the United States to get close with Russia or China historically. And the United States with Russia, they've had a historical relationship where they're just meant to get along, I think, personally. And, you see with Lincoln, too, with Tsar Alexander the second. And, you know, for those who don't know about this, Tsar Alexander II sent navies on both the east and western coast of the United States during the Civil War to protect, to save Brit, because Britain and France were threatening to come in support of the Confederates.
Right.
So I'm not black-pilled. I think that there are actual leaders in the world that really do want to support national sovereignty for the welfare of the people, to have peace in the world where we can have nations who cooperate and collaborate. But the people who don't want that, and they want a world empire system, right, a world government, a League of Nations type construct, they hate that American idealism. That's why they hate the United States so much. They wanted to infiltrate it. But there's also been other countries that have also been in alignment with that. So I feel that when Trump was president, he made it very clear. He was the only one where there were no new wars that were started. He was very firm on this idea of like stopping the war machine. And he did a really good job doing that for being a civilian president with like no like direct connection with intelligence or the military. I'm still baffled.
Yeah,
I don't know
the
how
intelligence
he was able to do it.
Right. And now it turns out, after all this time, I've done a lot of work on this, what I call the fourth branch of the government, this that popped out of that shouldn't exist. It's unconstitutional. There's no checks and balances. There's no oversight. It's the intelligence branch that was spawned out of the Patriot Act, as far as I can see. But it's really causing most of the problems in America right now. Certainly the full track and trace surveillance of every human being in America and probably the world, because a lot of people ask what's happening down in D.C. Why are they all voting for this stuff? I say, what do you think? They're not track and trace and surveilled too? You know, and they're the first ones that are being controlled on this thing. And it goes to a lot of what you're saying right now about the clandestine operations and all that's going on. And also, Cynthia, how much they lose if any of this is actually, if there is light shined on any of this, if the whole house of cards could fall apart. I mean, they've been keeping this house of cards together since 1963 in a lot of ways, at least if not before then. And so we're at a place where, knowing what you're saying about the CIA and the operations, and then thinking about Panama and the open border, and then what we're learning about Ukraine and all of that, and that it's really, again, coming from the same people, the parent company.
They're throwing the kitchen sink. They're throwing the kitchen sink at the whole thing at this point, which is actually good news because it shows that they're like really panicking.
Right.
Because even like the whole, I don't know if I want to say it because then we can't put the video up, but you know, the whole lockdown situation.
Oh, you can say it here. I can put it up on my channel. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the whole COVID thing, that was something that was planned for a very long time, but it wasn't supposed to be launched when it was supposed to be launched. At least this is my opinion of the situation. And so they've had all of these things, you know, the Randites, they're like people who look at like the world in like as if it was a you know, one of those games. I forgot what you call the folding out games.
Yeah.
But they view it like that. And the good news for these types of psychopaths that have been putting a lot of time into this is that they don't understand human nature and human behavior ultimately. And so their plans always get messed up, but there's a lot of problems that happen. And there's still a lot of danger. There's a lot of risk. I don't think that they can like fully succeed in having like the vision that they have,
right?
But they're so insane that I'm constantly surprised at like how far they're willing to go. And this whole thing of like bringing NATO into Ukraine, this is not a coincidence. I wonder, like, Tucker Carlson's timing to interview Putin was like really like sharp. I feel like he kind of knew that something was coming, and he wanted to have this message, because like a lot of people viewed that interview. That was like probably the best, you know, press that Putin has ever had, of like being able to speak uninterrupted for so long. But the fact that we are now in a situation where people are seeing that the Ukraine front won't last past summer or very much longer past summer,
right,
that there's no choice but to bring in NATO.
To continue it down, like you're saying. They don't want it to end either. They don't want peace. That doesn't suit their model that they've been working on all this time.
But they're so insane that, like, Putin has been saying since at least 2 years ago that if NATO is going to come at Russia, Russia will not be able to deal with that without it resorting to a nuclear war.
Right.
And Russia, again, people have to be reminded, there were like 22 million people who died during World War II, and like they were basically left on their own, except for Roosevelt sending resources to them. They were left to completely fight the Nazi war machine by themselves. And the Nazi war machine was made stronger by England by giving them the Czech army, which was like the best army in Europe. So they gave them that. Alex Craner has done very good work to showcase how that's true. And then they sent that whole thing to Russia. So of course the Russians are like, hell no. Like, there's no way we're going through that again. We're going to do a nuclear war. And I don't think that Putin is going to just like launch and attack like the whole world.
But I don't think he wants to, is the truth. No. And they are egging him on. This is the craziest part. Annie Jacobson has a book, new book too, who's a great, really amazing work out there. Her Operation Paperclip book was pretty fascinating and taught me a lot. But I'll tell you, this whole nuclear, because she has a book that's out right now about the prospects of this nuclear war and just like the whole idea, we should be by any means, that everyone on planet Earth isn't by any means necessary doing whatever they have to do to make sure that it doesn't escalate to that. Like you said, he's been saying it for 2 years because that is what he'll be forced to do to protect his country. So at this point, these are psychopaths and sociopaths. And you have to wonder, it appears that everyone except for like 12 people in the U.S., you know, none of these people all the way up to the president anymore have power. They haven't since the fourth branch took over, I believe, our government. But and above them. But is it shocking to you that it doesn't appear that anyone in the entire government is talking about what are we going to do about peace except for like 10 guys? And most of them are retired.
It's highly concerning. I think that another problem with Americans is just that they've been so isolated because, you know, we have like two huge oceans on either side. Whereas the Europeans, like they lived through the World War II thing in a much more real way of like just having an army invade and like with full force into your country is the scariest thing ever.
Exactly. And we've been so spoiled. Yeah, we've been so spoiled by this. And that's why people are very, especially Michael Yon's been the loudest out there. I think his Tucker interview comes out in a day or two, which is very important, where he's saying they are coming through Panama. They're coming through Panama. These are all military age males that are not being vetted, and they have a straight pass right into this country. And what were they doing in Panama during all this time? This is not like a fast thing. They're coming there. They're there for a while. Then they're moving here.
And then to join the American military after being trained, like possibly death squad tactics. I mean, yeah, it's very concerning, but that's why people have to, you know, one of the tragedies of the 1960s, I feel, is like when JFK was killed, MLK, Malcolm X, Bobby Kennedy, and there were many others. The civil rights movement was attacked by COINTELPRO. We need to support people and not get like too depressed and black-pilled, thinking like it's hopeless and everything is just going to go in one direction. We are in a fight right now that we can come out of this victorious, but we have to be like very united and focused and understand where it's coming from. And I do think that Trump definitely should be supported. This is very important. And I'm a Canadian. I can't vote for Trump.
I know. But the reasons are so obvious. And to anyone, you know, I have friends that consider themselves anarchists that don't vote at all or whatever. And it's like, it's not really about that. It's really about ideology. I keep saying to people, it's not about Trump or it's about ideology. What do you want for this nation, for this our future, for the world, all of that? Because it's very clear the two pictures were being sold if you actually take the time to actually look into it. I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and I tell everyone, September 2023, recommitted fully at a big event at the White House to Agenda 2030. And they are going in that direction, whether we want them to or not. As I'm sure you saw, all the billionaires cashed out of the stock exchange in the last 2 weeks to the tune of $11 billion. Well, why are all these guys that are in the public-private world partnership, getting their cash out of the markets? So to me, I think there's a lot of signs, but I'm hopeful as well because, like you said, they're throwing the kitchen sink, and it's you have to willingly not want to see that this is the controlled demolition of America from within. And I think that at this point you have what's happening is that I believe the Black community, the white community, the Asian community, everything that they're slicing us into is all starting to realize, like, maybe we're not all on different sides. Maybe we all want to stand for freedom and our privacy to be respected and to live our lives as we choose. And we don't want this. So a part of me feels like even by the summer, there could be a very good chance that this is actually pushing people together rather than what they want.
That was MLK's message, by the way. That's what upshooted him to a real threat. And then,
Exactly.
Because he was saying this is not a Black rights issue. This is a human rights issue. Everybody is in the same boat. And he was making a joke for the drum boy. I can't remember exactly the title of that preaching that he did. But he was making the point of these poor white people who don't want to come out on the streets and march with us, and you can barely afford to put food on your table, and you can be drafted to the Vietnam War. Right. You don't want to come onto the streets with us because you think that somehow you're better off than us because of the color of your skin. He's like, you have the same oppressor. It's the same oppressor. It's the same problem. We're all, under the same kind of tyranny. And I really do believe that there are only a relatively small grouping of psychopaths in the world.
Agree.
But psychopaths are very committed, obsessed people who want power, whereas good people tend to not really work that hard to get power. And so we've been sleeping for a little bit too long, but most people are good people who are going to naturally want to just get along with people. They're naturally not going to be, racist. They're naturally, it's only when people are being pushed into a corner and they start freaking out that, the idea of stirring hatred and stuff like this becomes easier. But that's not how humans are typically. Yeah.
And much of what you're saying, I say a lot about what's going on in the schools and the universities with the finding of validation outside with you have to be part of the group. You have to fit the group think to feel good about yourself or to feel accepted or anything. It's not, they're convincing them that it's not from the inside. So you have all these younger people that don't even know what they think, because at this point they've been told that if they don't go along with this or that, they're inherently a bad person. Nobody wants to be a bad person. And so it's very, very easy to manipulate people. Kathy calls it like trauma programming. Like, you don't want to be that. And every time that they have something that they hold on to, whether it's the George Floyd thing or it's, whatever's coming next or the COVID, the COVID bomb or whatever, people become very easily manipulated and susceptible to groupthink that is not healthy for them. And I think that there's a lot of that too. But it's really important for people to understand that, we are the answer. That we are lucky to be in America. And it's funny, Cynthia, I always say to people, the DNA of the American is to stand up against bullies, is to, stand up for the other guy, and not in a way that divides you against them, but that says, this shouldn't be happening. It's funny you brought up Martin Luther King and that whole thing where he was saying, you're being impressed by the same people, come march with us. It was also Malcolm X that was saying that the press is going to make the oppressed love the oppressor and hate the people, that aren't oppressing them. And we're in a lot of these things, and you can see why some of these people were taken out when their messages were getting too loud out there. There's also a bunch of quotes, you know, from other people that had very suspicious deaths. But like you said, Donald Trump remains standing, and that there's only two reasons that's possible. And I believe both to be true. So, you know, let's just hope that more people realize it's about ideology, not the person, that are so brainwashed or anti-Trump that they don't see that it's actually about the direction you want the country to go in. Exactly. And it's very stark differences. So let's end on your thoughts on that. And then we'll tell everyone how and where to follow you if they're not already, which they should be.
My thoughts in terms of the relevance of Trump is that, I mean, me as well, I don't agree with necessarily everything he says, but in terms of the big topics, the big subjects, in terms of, like, you know, whether we'll go extinct or not, whether the economy will tank or not, you know, these kinds of really important issues, I think that he's got a really impressive track record. And again, the stuff that he was able to accomplish, despite all of the attack and distraction that was happening during his 4-year term, is very impressive. I think he's owed an extra 4 years, because those 4 years were largely taken away from him. 100%. So I think that Trump is the answer for peace and a future economically for the American people, for sure.
I agree. Cynthia, tell everyone where to follow you, how to find you, where to find your book, which becomes your book that you wrote about the rising sun. It still gets more relevant every week that goes by. So can you tell I always forget, I botch the name, but can you tell the audience all where to find you and where to find that book? Yeah. And where to find how to follow you? Problem. Guys.
Matt does it too, because it's a very long title, but it's the Empire in Which the Black Sun Never Set. And I'll just leave it at that, because there's there's more to the title, but it's that. And people can find out more about it on my Substack, Through a Glass Darkly by Cynthia Chung.
Okay, Through a Glass Darkly by Cynthia Chung. She is incredible. And, you know, once you put together, and the best thing about you is that you can take all this information and then synthesize it into something that is so understandable. It's a true gift what you have, because, I mean, you put together sometimes thousands of years of history into one Substack, and at the end you feel like you just went through a whole semester of college. So thank you so much, Cynthia. You're amazing. I will put all her links below, and we will see you next time. Keep up the incredible work. Really appreciate it.
You as well, Mel.
Thanks. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water? And the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today. It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you. And that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko is ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at themelkshow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. We'll be right back.